They're the joyful agains our children shout on the swings, the exhausting agains of cooking and laundry, and the difficult agains of discipline. So much of what we do as mothers is on repeat. So what if we woke up with clarity, knowing which agains we were called to, and went to bed believing we are faithful in what matters most? We believe God's word is the key to untangle from the confusion and overwhelm we feel. Let's look up together to embrace a motherhood full of freedom and joy. Welcome to the Again Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Hickox, and this is brought to you by Entrusted Ministries. In John 13:35, Jesus said, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." That verse has been going through my head over and over lately as I've been thinking about the local church and the support that we're called to give one another. Whether it's delivering vitamins for a sick friend, being there for a grieving widow, or someone who just had a baby or received a cancer diagnosis, we are called to support each other. It seems the temptation is constant of connecting through a quick text. But let's not forget the true, authentic fellowship that we were called to that requires face-to-face interaction. This is part one of an interview I had with Emily Deal. She's sharing one of her greatest trials in motherhood, and it began right at the beginning when her child came much earlier than anyone expected. Did you know that 9 to 15% of babies go to the NICU after being born? That is a much higher number than I would have expected. So I think it's important that we hear a testimony of someone explaining what that was like and how we can support them in it. But not only does Emily share that, she shares how the Lord was so faithful to their family. And though it's a little embarrassing, at the very end, I'm sharing about a recent humbling example of a foolish lie I was believing that was preventing me from connecting and having deeper fellowship. Maybe you can relate. The further along I get in motherhood, I realize that having mothers that are just a little bit down the road from me or much farther down the road than me is such an absolute treasure. Emily, even last night, I called you with a parenting situation that I feel very discouraged about, and you were so gracious and so encouraging to say there's a light at the end of this tunnel. That's why I think it will be such a blessing for moms to hear you share this testimony of a really difficult season that you went through. And I see the woman that you are today as such fruit of the trials that you went through. I see your heart for community and authenticity. I didn't know you before this trial that we're going to talk about, but it seems to me that a lot of this was born in you out of that season. I know it was a long time ago, but could you please tell us about your pregnancy with your firstborn, who, how old is Ben now? 17?
Yes, he will be 18 in just a couple months. We're taking it back almost 18 years ago. In some ways, it feels as if it was yesterday, and some ways, it feels like it truly was 18 years ago. But I can honestly say, before I get into Ben's story, that I can look across these years and I can just see the goodness of God in our physical needs and in our health needs and in our financial needs, but in his goodness to grow us in him. I see that evident, and I'm so grateful to him for it. We often resist the very things that will bring us close to him because they make us the most uncomfortable. No one asks for a premature birth. No one asks for the uncertainty that it brings. But in our lives, it cultivated this desire for the Lord and desire for just wanting so much for our family. And he used it to awaken those goals and longings that we had and bring resolution to it. Mm-hmm. Benjamin was born 8 weeks early. That was very much a surprise because my pregnancy went perfectly. Everything was on track. Everything was progressing as it should. All of my visits were filled with good news, which we were incredibly grateful for. At 31 weeks, I was having some contractions. I went in and thought, oh, surely this is not what I think it is, but it was. And so the prescription they had for me was bed rest. And I went home on bed rest. And exactly 1 week to the day that I went in, he came, Benjamin came into the world. And so he was 8 weeks early. And
you weren't working at that time, right?
I was nannying actually at that time, and I was staying in their house, and they were out of town. Actually, they had to fly back early. So I was nannying, and then at 31 weeks, they came back and I went on bed rest. I remember I tried to be so vigilant in not going up and down the stairs and just all the things that they told me to not do. I was super vigilant in doing, but despite my best laid plans, Benjamin came, and it was at night. I was laying in bed and my water broke, and I woke Jake up and I said, I think we need to go to the hospital. It was full panic because in so many ways I was ignorant as to what premature birth could bring. In other ways, I knew we had a road ahead of us. I just didn't know what it was. That's where we found ourselves, rushing to the hospital late at night, the two of us. And I look back on this whole time, I think the best word that I could use, if I had to sum it up in one word, it would be uncertain. I was uncertain as to what would lay ahead of me on the other end of labor. I was uncertain because preceding this, my husband had been laid off from his job. And so that means no insurance, no benefits. I had many things racing through my head as we were on the way to the hospital, but it was a lot of uncertainty.
What did the labor itself look like? Was it very rushed? I'm thinking about all of my labors. I knew this is painful, but this is right. This is what needs to happen.
I felt as if I was just going through the motions. I had zero control. The labor, I knew he needed to come out. My water broke. It was time. The labor was actually pretty quick. I think I was in labor with him from beginning to end. It was about 6 hours. I say it wasn't long. It really felt so quick because everything was just happening so fast. I do remember as soon as he was born, there were so many doctors in the room and nurses. And I remember they took him right away. They had a little incubator set up with all of the things that they needed. I didn't see him for quite a few hours because they rushed him out of the room. My husband was there and he did get to go with him, but I did not get to see him. I think it was about 4 to 5 hours because they needed to take care of me and do what they needed to do with me in the room. They had to care for him and run all the tests and do all the things before I could go and see him. I remember laying there and I had heard him cry, and that brought a lot of comfort to my heart. But that's all. I didn't know what he looked like, nothing. And so again, the Lord was good in this because this was also my first. And so I didn't know what to expect. Everything was new. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any past experience to gauge it by. So in that way, I'm so grateful because I didn't have any milestones in my own mind. I remember by the time I was able to go in and see him, they wheeled me and he was full of tubes and needles, and it was very intimidating. He was very tiny. He was 4 pounds, which actually for a premature baby, that sounds small, but he was pretty decently sized for a premature baby.
Yes, because towards the end, they gain quite a bit.
They do. He looked very frail and so tiny, and I remember being a little bit scared to hold him. I didn't want to do anything that would hurt him because he just looked so tiny. I do remember the first time I held him, and I had to be careful because he had all the cords attached to him. It was sweet, but also I felt like it was hard to process because there was so much going on. They had to feed him through a feeding tube when he was first born because he didn't have the ability to suck yet because he was so young. Nothing was as I had dreamed it to be. When you're a first-time mom, mm-hmm. you have all of these visions and thoughts about what it's going to be like, and it was not like anything I had thought that it would be. It was a little, it was actually a lot scary because you just, you go into it totally wide-eyed because you don't know what's going on and you don't know what to expect.
Were you aware that you were grieving the loss of what you had expected or what you had hoped? Or
no.
Okay.
Most definitely not during that time. I don't know if everyone's this way, but it was just one foot in front of the other because I mm-hmm. felt like if I let down, I couldn't make it through whatever was to mm-hmm. come. I was just arming myself for the next thing because as you're sitting in the NICU and the nurses are talking to you, that's your whole conversation is the next step. What's the next step? Which mm-hmm. actually is probably a gift from the Lord because you're not able to sit and think about processing really much of anything unless it is the next milestone that they need to hit. Mm-hmm. I wasn't processing any of that because I couldn't. I was just thinking mm-hmm. about what he needed to do. And what he needed to do was hit 3 milestones in order to come home. He had to be able to suck. He had to be able to form suction so he could eat on his own. He had to get his coloring normal, mm-hmm. and he had to be able to sleep through the night without the apnea monitor going off. His heart would stop while he was sleeping, and so the apnea monitor mm-hmm. alerted us to that. So he had to be able to sleep without his heart stopping. And so those were the 3 milestones that we had to hit. So as you're processing all of this, that's what your mind is on, the next step that your baby has to hit.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I can understand why the practical, tangible milestones and surviving take the forefront in your mind and you can't enter into all of the emotions.
Yes, 100%.
What was your schedule like while Ben was in the NICU?
I lived and died by his eating schedule. While I was in the hospital, as they do, they bring in the lactation nurse, and she was absolutely fabulous. And though I was not able to nurse him right away, she did help me and talk me through pumping. That was my life, was pumping for Benjamin. I would pump and then take it to him. And that is what they fed him through the feeding tube. My whole world revolved around his feeding times because those were the times that I could hold him while he ate. And those were some sweet times. The nurses were absolutely fabulous. NICU nurses, that is a ministry all in its own. Those nurses were just fantastic. I can still remember them to this day. They really took the time to be so sweet and invest in the moms. That was my whole being, was being there for Ben, being there for nursing time. And I would plan my visits around seeing him during those times. They let me be there as much as I wanted. I don't know, maybe it's changed today. They were so fantastic in encouraging me to sleep when I could. They would always say, you get your rest, come back during his feeding times because those are the times that you can bond the most. You're welcome anytime, but they really encouraged me to be able to rest in the in-between.
I can't imagine driving away without my child. What was that like for you, Emily? Was it hard to leave?
Yes. Leaving the hospital without your baby is one of the most difficult things I've ever done. I stayed a few days after he was born. My husband had gotten a job. He was slated to start the day that I came home from the hospital. We had no family around. Everybody lived far away. At the time, we did not have friends that were available. And so mm-hmm. it was just Jake and I. Because he started a new job, he was not available to drive me home from the hospital. I drove myself home from the hospital. This was the hardest day that I ever had because I drove home. I left my baby at the hospital. In my mind, this was just not how it was supposed to be. My arms mm-hmm. were empty and my heart was heavy, and I mm-hmm. was driving away without my son. I remember getting in the car and driving home and just thinking, what now? There were so many unknowns. Mm-hmm. I pulled in the garage. I walked into the kitchen, into the living room. And I remember just sitting on the reclining chair and just crying because I thought, again, this is not how it's supposed to be, Lord. And what next? And what now? Mm-hmm. At the time that I left, Ben had not hit any milestones. It was totally unknown how long he would need to be in the NICU. And I felt this responsibility and care and concern for him, but I didn't know what to do with it because I couldn't really be there for him. His whole survival was based on those wonderful NICU nurses and not on me. It was the most lost feeling I think I've ever felt. I believe this is where the Lord works so greatly in our lives, and he, through our deepest pain, helps us be able to minister and care for others in ways that we couldn't have had we not walked the road that he had called us to walk. This was our road that he had called us to walk. This is when my days just became consumed with pumping and going to the hospital and pumping and going to the hospital. We were very blessed in that time because Benjamin was there for 4 weeks and then he was able to come home. And that was like no other feeling in the world when he was finally able to come home.
That's a long time. It's a very long time.
It was a long time. It was a long time of a lot of uncertainty, and it was a long time with a lot of questions.
When my kids have gone through different health issues, it seems like that's one of the hardest things for me as a mother, but it seems like my husband always has this reassurance, oh, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I'm wondering, did Jake really have that confidence with him starting a new job? I'm sure he had divided focus. Mm-hmm. Maritally, was that a really strong time for you to rely on each other? Or did you feel like we don't have complete unity because you're starting on this new endeavor? How would you describe that time?
That time between us, I still look back on that time as just God's goodness, because there are so many things that could have gone wrong. But honestly, during that time, it was survival. And for both of us, he was incredibly supportive and he was very reassuring. But this is where the goodness of the Lord comes in, because when I look back on those times, when you think back to the labor of your children, you don't remember the hardness of it. You just remember the goodness of it.
I remember all of that. Worth it, but so hard. But I'm glad for you.
I feel like the Lord blurs the details because I really feel like those details are so blurred. Maybe I had trauma, but we made it through that time. And yes, Jake had quite a commute and I was going opposite way, going to the hospital. And then we would come together at night and kind of share about our days. And he was incredibly encouraging. I do remember him being encouraging, but there was so much going on that I don't remember the heavy details. And I do think that's the Lord's protection, because I just remember being so focused on Benjamin. Now, if you were to ask Jake, maybe he would have a different story. But I remember being very focused on Ben and just talking about that next milestone, because we hit them just one by one. And so we were counting down together to the next one and the next one and the next one. Then when the realization hit that he would be coming home, we went to the hospital and we picked Ben up and drove him home. And now when we brought him home, he still had his apnea monitor. And this is where my mom came in to just be a huge blessing to us, because during this time I had been alone going back and forth. And then she came and stayed with us for this next part. And the next part was bringing Ben home with his apnea monitor and the series of doctor's appointments. When you have a baby that is premature, the doctors are just checking everything, eyesight, hearing, all of the different tests. And she was so present in going to the appointments. And I would say, if you know a mom who is walking through the waters of premature birth and she has no family around, the most ministering thing you can do for her heart is to offer to go to appointments with her, because my mom caught so many things that I missed, because you have so much information thrown at you in just a short amount of time.
I'm sure that was such a comfort to have your mom be able to stay and go to all of those appointments with you. Do you recall what it was like when she had to leave?
That's a great question. That was very hard to watch my mom leave. I remember the night before she was supposed to leave, I was just so afraid because I hadn't been alone with Benjamin yet. And he still had his apnea monitor, so he was still struggling with his heart stopping at night. I was so scared. I do remember my dad was also with my mom during that time. And my dad came to me and said, "Would it help if we stayed one more night?" And I said, "Yes, please." And yes, I do remember them driving away. And I just thought, how am I going to do this on my own? It was a hard day when my mom left me alone with little tiny Benjamin. It was a very hard day. It was so scary because I felt so unprepared and so scared. I was supposed to have 8 more weeks.
And you weren't just physically exhausted. You're emotionally exhausted, right? Just from all of the uncertainty. There had to be a weariness that you were experiencing that is beyond what a typical new mom feels.
Yes, there was a lot of emotional exhaustion. I think often when you go through something like that, you don't process it until you're on the back end of it. And by this time, I was on the back end of it. We had brought him home, and you're dealing with so many emotions and so much fear that you're processing through all of that. And it's so easy to feel utterly alone. And we know we're not. But yes, I did feel very alone and just scared. And also not knowing if I was even equipped to be a mom yet. Mm-hmm. And that time, it was a gift, but it was also every moment was unknown and very scary.
Of course. And I'm sure you were very obedient in wanting to follow up with all of these doctor's appointments, but I know that the bills were piling in and you were waiting for the new insurance. That had to be just another layer of fear and uncertainty.
Yes, it was. That was difficult because Jake had been laid off, and so he had his new job, but his insurance hadn't yet kicked in. We were dealing with all of that. When I say uncertain, it was uncertain in every way. But also, when I look back now, I see God's faithfulness in it all. When you're in the midst of it, you don't see all of the waves, and you don't know how you're going to get past the next wave. And you just think, Lord, why is this happening? But now as I look back, I see how he took us by the hand and led us through that. We had a lot of uncertainty. We had a lot of financial uncertainty. We had a lot of health uncertainty. We had a lot of just fractured community. And the Lord was so faithful to lead us through. I do believe it's by the grace of the Lord that he led us through in our marriage, in our finances, and he took care of everything. He took care of every little thing. But when you're walking through it, often you think, how am I going to make it through? And that's definitely where we found ourselves during that time.
One of my favorite Psalms is Psalm 18, and it talks about God making us strong. It says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Oh, I love the whole chapter, but in verse 18 and 19, it says, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. And then later on, it talks about how God strengthened us. By my God, I can leap over a wall. And he trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Your right hand supported me and your gentleness made me great. I find sometimes when I'm looking back at trials, at the time it feels, Lord, I had to go through all of those hard things. I had to keep persevering and through a very difficult season, but you see how God held you, how his gentleness makes you great, how he is your rock that enables you to do what you need to do and to persevere, to keep moving, to put one foot in front of the other, as you were saying.
Yes.
It's like the footprints in the sand. Why through the hardest times in my life, even though I know that's used so often, but you really do realize, oh, wow, God, you were carrying me in that time.
It's as if he gives us one puzzle piece and tells us to hold on to it. And then we're not able to connect the pieces until he gives us that next puzzle piece. And then they click together and you're like, oh, okay, maybe there's a full picture here. He gives us the puzzle pieces all across our life and it will never be fully done until we leave this side of heaven. But he is so good to give us just what we need when we're walking through something hard. I'm sure you've been through times like this, Steph, that you look back and you think, how did I even make it through that time? This is one of those times for me that I think, how did I even make it through this time? We had more questions than we had answers, and yet we made it through stronger in our faith. But who but the Lord could move a mountain like that for us and then come out the other side stronger? He's so good in that way. I think as we mature in our Christian walk and the years have a way of doing that, it brings a closeness to him and a desire to come alongside other moms and say, listen, I know you feel like you're carrying the weight of the world and you are right now, but God has a plan in it. And trust his plan and don't give up on that plan. This is where the Lord gives us the encouragement to do that in these spaces of the unknown and walking alongside one another. And surrender to him, he can take what is the scariest or ugly or most unimportant parts of our lives and make them beautiful, make them used for his glory.
If you're in the middle of a trial, we hope this testimony of God's faithfulness encouraged you. Keep pressing into him. He will bring beauty from those ashes. Next week, we'll release part two of this episode. Emily gets very practical about how we can support moms that are going through this, and it will certainly apply to other trials as well. And as promised, I'm going to tell you a very humbling story from my own life. I have a friend in our homeschool community. She's incredibly authentic, and I always feel encouraged when I'm around her. Last week, she said that we should get together more this summer. And I had to admit to her that I don't pursue more of a friendship with her because I don't feel like I'm pretty enough to be her friend. Her shock and her response confirmed that this was an absolute lie, and she forced me to promise that we were going to make more of an effort to have a consistent friendship. I know it sounds ridiculous, but I think so often we fall into a trap of believing that we're too much or not enough to be someone's friend, so we don't pursue them. I'm encouraging you to push through. It's hard enough to find friendships as a mom without us getting in our own way. Because, as Jesus said, that's how the world is going to know that we're his, by the way that we love each other. And if we're isolating ourselves, that can't happen. We know you're busy, Mama, so we are truly grateful you joined us for this episode of Again. If you're looking for more information about building your home on the foundation of Jesus Christ, head to www.entrustedministries.com to learn more about our study for moms, Entrusted with a Child's Heart. This scripture-saturated study has blessed families around the world, and we want it for you too. Before you go, I want to pray this benediction over you. From 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 through 12, we're rooting for you. To this end, we always pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Until we meet again.